It's the Murder Master Music Show. It's the Murder Master Music Show.
Yo, Chris!
It's the Murder Master Music
Show. Matt Jay!
It's the Murder Master Music Show.
UCFLife.com.
It's the Murder Master
Getting
Music
made
Show.
On the beat.
It's the Murder Master Music Show. It's the Murder Master
Caliber
Music 007. Show.
Seven.
It's the Murder Master
they
Music
used to
Show.
Hip hop is dead, but we don't resurrect it. You follow what lamestream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relativity, and the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot spades and fluorescent flip-flops, we killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watched. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. And you
the
don't
Murder
stop.
Master Music Show. It's the Murder 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 Master Music Show.
What's up, everybody? Episode 333. You know what I'm saying? 333. What a number. You know what I'm saying? Hard to believe we're here already. We got a hell of a show tonight. We got Cedric Singleton, CEO of Black Market Records. Man, tons of music. You know what I'm saying? Not only from the underground, but also, I mean, these guys, they hit the charts. They got plaques. You know what I'm saying? Major releases. You know what I'm saying? They're still doing it big, real fucking big. They just dropped a new Outlaws album, Living Legends. Yeah, I'm going to bring on the CEO of Black Market Records right now, Cedric Singleton himself. How you doing, Cedric?
Hey, what it is? What's up?
What's up, man? First and foremost, welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 333. Huge honor to have you on the show, man. How you been?
I've been good, man. Thanks for the invite.
And it's a huge honor. You know, you've done so much, you know what I'm saying, throughout your career, and you're still doing it, man. What keeps you doing it after all these years?
Man, I just love the art, the creative, the art side of this business. I like, you know, one of the things that gives me the greatest satisfaction is turning nothing into something, trying to, trying to make things happen, and just the whole creative aspect of being in the music, making films, concerts, and all that stuff. I just enjoy what I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And you just dropped a new Outlaws project, Living Legends, right? Yes, can you tell us about that and how all that came to light?
It's a Living Legends album with the Outlaws, man. It was my honor that they wanted to put a record out with me. And so we talked about it, and then we made it happen. And you know, just it was a legend, just that those guys wanted to deal with the market.
Yeah, man, that's huge. That right there speaks volumes. You know what I'm saying? From one of the dopest groups of rap history, they know your history. That's the thing, man. They know what you have done. That's got to make you feel good at the end of the day, knowing that you really accomplished a lot.
Yeah, man. It's a great privilege, man, for people to recognize, you know, our little label in Sacramento, California, from people from all over the world. This year, moving forward, we'll be working with a lot of national acts, a lot of pretty large artists, from DJ Khaled to a couple other artists, and it's just getting real exciting.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. You're tackling all different levels of the game, you know what I'm saying, whether it's, major stuff or whether it's independent, you're hitting it from every angle. Let's take our listeners back, though. When did Black Market Records first start, Cedric?
It's about 1989 it was. I did a record with an artist, local artist in Sacramento by the name of Homicide. And my at the time, my studio, I was a producer at the time, and my studio was called Black Market Studios, Black Market Productions. And that's when it got started, 89.
And the guy's name was Homicide. What kind of music was he doing? Was it like a real hardcore gangster, or was it?
It was Lynch or
X-rated, or was it something different?
No, the Homicide stuff was gangster stuff. It was gangster music, but X-rated and Brother Lynch came along later, and their music was just harder gangster. There was a little extra edge on Lynch and Rated and Mr. Doctor and some of the artists that I've done since Homicide. My Homicide at the time was gangster, but just not as hard as the other guys.
Well, so you've been in this since the 80s. Here we are, it's 2017, you're still doing stuff. You're also doing film work. What do you got going as far as film?
Man, I got a couple films. We just finished one called Our Apartment. We're about to get started working with Deion Taylor for his, he did the Meet the Blacks. So we're doing the soundtrack for Meet the Blacks on his next film. And we're also doing a soundtrack for a film that he directed that's starring Jamie Foxx called Stranded. So it's two soundtracks that we're working on. Film-wise, I've just been on the phone with Tretch from Naughty by Nature, Method Man, Mike Epps, and Ice-T. Taraji just came in and signed on to an eight-part series called Southside, which features the drug kingpin from the Queens called Supreme. Real excited about that. Real excited about that project.
Wow. I mean, you're really doing a little bit of everything. Man, that's amazing. When does that come out?
Well, we're about to go into production in about another 3 months. We're still trying to put all the details together on the project. We just started our conversation actually last week. They sent me over what they had so far. Man, it's just exciting to be. I mean, even for those guys to be looking for the market because they got in contact with us. And that was, a great thing in my opinion that these guys would be looking for us in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's a story.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's good to see. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see this. Didn't you also sign X-rated for a deal?
Me and X-rated. Got back together about 8-9 months ago, and with his next few records, he'll be dropping on Black Market.
Wow. Man, I really like that because, you know what I'm saying, the history that you guys have goes back, you know what I'm saying, to the early 90s, man. What was it like, you know what I'm saying, meeting X-Rated? Can you describe him back in those early days?
You know, the thing is that with X-Rated, I knew X-Rated about a week before the crime that he was involved in happened. I only knew him for a week. And I produced a song, the last song on the album, Psychoactive. And then I mixed the song on a Friday, and this crime happened. I mixed the song on a Saturday morning, and this crime happened Saturday night. That Monday, he was on the run. At the time I didn't know anything that had happened, but when they called him, he called me and said they caught me, and I was like, caught you for what? And then then I put two and two together. But since he's been in jail, I mean, our relationship has blossomed from the time that he's been in jail. Because at the time I didn't really know him. His first visitor when he was in jail, he said, well, come and visit me. He was, you know, at the time he was 16. And so he said, come and visit me. And I said, how am I going to come visit? He said, just tell him that you're my dad. Okay, so I went down there and lied to him, told him I was his dad. And then we sat there and we talked about it. But, you know, we had been, you know, really close. My relationship with X-Rated is beyond the music. I have great admiration for him, and I have even more admiration for him now for how much he's developed as a person. Yeah. I'm looking for some really great things from that guy when he gets out.
His discography is amazing considering he's been locked down his whole career pretty much. Imagine how effective he can be on the outside.
Think about it. How many guys out here running around free can't put a record out? This guy has been in the penitentiary for 25 years. And look at the record that he's been able to put out with all of those obstacles in front of him. And I didn't help him with all of them. I put 6 records out on Rated. He put out some other records without my help.
Yeah. Yeah, he put out a lot. His own, too. Yeah, that's true. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to X-Rated. Hopefully he comes home soon. Is there any details on when he might be coming home?
He had a parole hearing about I think it was in May of last year. They denied him parole. They did not expect him to get into his parole hearing and say what he said. At the time, me and him had not talked for 10 years, but shortly after that, we regained communication. And so he told me basically what had happened at the parole hearing. I'm just expecting them to say yes next time because they expected him to come into the parole hearing and deny what he had been accused of. But instead, he came to the parole hearing and told the absolute truth as to what happened that night. And I think that put people back. He apologized, and it wasn't anything that, that was done out of an act. He said he accepted full responsibility by stating something like, "We went to that house to kill somebody." This is what he's saying in his parole hearing. He said, "Now, at this point in my life, I'm a different person now." But that's what happened at his parole hearing. They denied him, and he'll be back before the parole board again in May.
Well, hopefully, he touches down on the streets soon. Real good dude. I've had the pleasure not only to interview him, but also he was one of my co-writers at Murder Dog Magazine. He had a column in there for years.
Very talented,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Real good dude, man. Shout out to X-Rated. We look forward to him coming home. But what's the first project he's going to be dropping on Black Market?
He has so many different projects up his sleeve, but I think in his next project he's going to kill X-Rated off. He's going to kill the X-Rated off, and the album going forward will be Honor Ray Brown.
Wow. So this next album, he's going to put X-Rated to rest, in a sense. And he's going to go by his real name.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. You know what? I wish we had him on the line. I've been writing to him and chopping up with him over the years. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I'd love to have him on the phone. But did he explain to you why he's going to be doing that?
He said, "I can't rap about the same thing now, 25 years, what is he, 41 now? I can't rap about the same thing at 41 that I rapped about when I was 16. So that development in me as a person, I am a different person now. So that whole image of X-Rated, he needs to be put to rest.
Yeah. Man, that's huge. That's huge news right there. Anybody that fan of X-Rated, man, support him in this next journey, in this next phase. You know what I'm saying? That's dope. I respect that, though, man. You know what it is? It's growth.
Yes, that's what it is.
It's growth, and that's dope.
I had read an interview with X-Rated. I think it was dated 2013. I can't remember what the interview was, but he had nothing but good things to say about you, Cedric. Mm-hmm. And he said that he's forever grateful for the opportunity you gave him, and he will forever be loyal to you. So I'm excited you guys have linked back up.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, the one thing about that dude, man, that dude tells the truth. He tells the truth. And, you know, a lot of these artists lie in music, and they lie in real life. Lie in music, you lie in real life. And Dre tells the truth.
Yeah.
He tells the truth in his music, and he tells the truth in real life. Well, I guess you call that keeping it real.
I guess, you know, that's why his fans, you know what I'm saying, really love the dude, man, and want to see, you know, him out of there and home with his family. You know, people are pulling for him, and, you know, you can tell he's a humble dude. He's a good dude, man. So nothing but good things to him in the future.
He's writing
sure.
a book about his life, man, and, you know, I, as close of a witness as I've been to his life, I can't wait to read his book.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
it's going to be an
that's
amazing,
be a movie eventually,
an amazing, an amazing story. I mean, an amazing story.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's good to see that you, like Brandon was saying, it's good to see you guys after all these years. You know what I'm saying? All the success, the highs, the lows. You're still comrades. You're still doing things together. So that, it speaks volumes too that he signed back with you. About you and the integrity of Black Market Records, you know what I'm saying, which is a huge label on the West Coast. Do you feel, though, that sometimes you don't get the props you deserve for what you guys contributed? You know what I'm saying? All you guys, you know, Doomsday Productions, Lynch, Mr. Doctor, X-Rated, and, of course, yourself. Do you feel that you guys don't get the props sometimes?
I think that's a geography issue. Because we are in Northern California, and it's in a secondary market. Even though our influence upon major artists have, but Brother Lynch's influence on Eminem, his influence on Snoop Dogg. And Snoop Dogg told me one time, he said that when he did Doggy Style, he had recorded an entirely different album, and then he heard Brother Lynch Hung. He heard Brother Lynch Hung and went back and recorded another album, which is the Doggy Style we heard. Talk to anybody in Detroit, Michigan. They will tell you, anybody that's familiar with the music in Detroit area, that Eminem, he said his favorite rapper is Brother Lynch. So there is an acknowledgement that happens on for those people who are aware, but for the general public, not so much, because for the truth be told, we really have not done those monster records. We have done those niche-type records that have done well. Pleasing of the Sickness, I went platinum a couple years ago, but it took 20 years to do it.
Yeah, it initially went gold, I believe, real quick, if I'm not mistaken. That's a classic album. But the you mean 24? So Snoop had recorded. I want to go back a minute. It said Snoop had recorded Doggy Style or a different version of Doggy Style. Then he heard 24 Deep and said,
yes.
"Fuck that! I got to go do a new version."
Right.
That's what he told you. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's dope.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So there's acknowledgement from those people who are aware of the music. I mean, Brother Lynch Hung is, I think he's one of the, I don't think Brother Lynch Hung has gotten the credit or the respect for his talent by the general public. So
yeah.
That guy was, I mean, if you go back and listen to Season of the Sickness, sometimes I play that stuff for people who have never heard of Brother Lynch. And they are still impressed by him.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, you know, how can they not be? You know, must not have a good taste.
Gangsta Nip on here. We just had Gangsta Nip on here like 2 weeks ago, and
mm-hmm.
he was
mm-hmm.
saying the same thing. He was saying the same exact thing, that him, Brother Lynch, and Eshawn, like, he felt that those three should be considered pioneers. You know what I mean? It was good to hear him show that love to Brother Lynch. Well,
yeah, that's an incredible thing. We put a record out with Gangsta Nip also. We did a record with him about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
you put out music with lots of people. We're talking about Lynch. You know, you got X-rated with it. What about like Lynch and Doomsday Productions? Any talks of working with them in the future?
I would love it. With those guys, you know, I went to jail in Las Vegas on a gun charge, like back in the 90s, I think it was, right?
And those dudes stood by my side through that whole experience. Doomsday Productions, them dudes are my brothers. And so I would love, I don't know what exactly they're doing. I don't think they've recorded anything lately, but, you know, I'm going to reach out to those guys and see if I can get them back in the studio.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I was reviewing some of their albums in the Murder Dog, and they that shit was fire. You know what I'm saying? Playboy 7, all them guys, man. One of the best trios, I think, in rap history, you know.
They did not get the respect. I know that they kind of flew under the radar. I put their first album out, but all of the records subsequently they all put out themselves. But I don't think that they got the respect or the acknowledgement that they deserve.
Yeah, that's real talk. No, they didn't. They didn't. That's for sure. Now Lynch, I believe he left Strange not too long ago. We had him on the show last year. He put out a project on his own label. You and him talked about possibly doing stuff together. I saw him.
Yeah, I always talked to. It was X-Rated who kind of had broached the subject of them doing a record together, which I thought would have been incredible. But Lynch is kind of one day he's one way, next day he's filming a different way, and so it's kind of hard to get something done like that. And I'm a big Lynch fan, so I always love to put a record out with Lynch. But just when times that we talked about it, he called me and said, let's do a record together. And then my next question is, how much is that going to cost me? And the number is crazy. I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah. That's, it would be dope to see, like, a black market reunion with all them guys or like a tour. Did you guys ever talk about doing something like that? I think that would be
When Rated gets out of jail, that's the first thing that he wants to do. When he comes home, that's the first thing that he wants to do, and I think he's going to kill it. Imagine all that time pent up wanting to do something, and you get the opportunity to do it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to be huge. That's going to be huge. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Mac J. He's on the line right now. How you doing, Mac J? Here with Cedric.
What's up with the prayer? Yeah, man, I've been listening for a while, man, but, you know, it's icy out here, man, so we're trying to just, I had to take it slow getting to the crib tonight. But I just want to salute Cedric on everything they've been doing, man. This dope interview, man. Good history, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Man, he's got I want to remind everybody, go pick up that new Outlaws album, you know what I'm saying, Living Legends, available right now. You got anything else that's out right now people can go pick up, Cedric?
I got a lot of music about to drop. I got a Kunta's album, Death Before Betrayal. I just dropped that. I got the Jay Stalin. I Should Have Stayed in School. I'm dropping Filthy Rich, Royalty. I got a Filthy Rich album coming. I have a D-Lo album dropping on the 28th, a Maserati Ricky on the 27th, a Nani Blanco on the 14th of February, a Trey Solid on the I think the last week of February, a little Darion the first week of March. A lot of music.
Man, cranking them motherfuckers out.
I mean, where do you keep your clones? You know, I mean, what the hell do you? I mean, how the hell do you balance all this stuff, man?
Now I got a staff, man. My staff is pretty. I got a pretty good staff. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a competition that goes on within the label, which I absolutely love it, where, you know, one group is trying to outdo the next group on a project. And that's exactly the environment that I fostered intentionally, and it's something that everybody involved loves. Because at the end of the day, we all win.
Mm-hmm. It's like everybody reaching for greatness, like pushing each other up in their game, stepping the par up, you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nothing wrong with that good competitive nature. That's what this hip-hop shit's supposed to be always anyway. It's always that goal to get better than what you was, or at least if you ain't the best, they gonna mention me with the best, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's what the game be missing. But I'm glad y'all still doing that shit like that.
Yeah, man, I'm still excited, though. There was a time when it got stale for me a few years back, but I got that fight back in me. I got that love for what I do. It came back. And, you know, I mean, I just actually enjoy getting up in the morning and going to work.
Yeah. Well, what's it like working with Jay Stalin? That dude's incredible, man. Somebody put me on to him a while back, man. I've been stuck on him ever since. That dude's incredible.
I just got off the phone with him, and we talked about doing another album together. Incredible, talented guy, man. Here's another guy that I think is a national star. Jay Stalin is
incredible. I agree. I think that dude should be everywhere. I think everybody should know who he is. Like, I think he's as good as the next guy. Like, that dude is amazing. Once I heard, like, two songs, I got stuck. I looked up everything I could find on him. He should be everywhere, man.
Yeah, he's got tons of music out there.
Solid dude, man. He works and works and works. He got a great head on his shoulder. I think something that also happens in Northern California is that it's such an independent environment that everybody wants to be independent. And that same thing that has fostered this environment is also the thing that hurts this environment. Because a lot of these independent guys are limited based on the fact that they're independent. But they're able to get out and control their situation. But that control of your situation comes at a cost. And that is your effectiveness and your ability to market to a broader marketplace, your ability to cover all of the bases. Like we have with your majors, you have the entire, you know, you go to some of these major companies, they got 100 people in there working. So how can you compete with that and you're one person with your homeboys?
Right.
You can't compete with that.
Yeah, it's extremely hard. Even in the podcast world, you've got people popping up with a podcast every other day. Just like rappers now. I'll take some dude with a mic, a computer program, and a SoundCloud page, and he's a rap star. Or he could potentially be a rap star. Or YouTube, of course. You know, so, yeah, it's a whole different ballgame than when when you first dropped in 89, man. What was it like for you to see that transition going from selling, you know, music independently out of stores and stuff like that to the computer taking over and all that?
You know, initially there were fewer people doing this thing and when I got started because it took so much money to make a record. There weren't the home studios like that. You know, I had one. Everybody just did not make that type of an investment. And so it was a lot harder to get records out. But as the ease of creating music happened, the more music begins to appear. Apple changed the entire music industry by making MP3. Yes, they did. They changed the entire landscape. That now the fact of digital music made it more affordable for people to produce music. Now, for what we were doing back then, I remember when we put out Season of the Sickness, we had a tractor trailer pulled up in front of our office, and, you know, a 40-foot tractor trailer. It was full of CDs. And now I haven't ordered that many CDs in a very, very long time. A tractor trailer, I think we had like 50,000 CDs on Season of the Sickness. And the only reason why we didn't put that album out ourselves is because a plant in somewhere in Indiana that was making our cassette tapes at the time heard the content of Season of the Sickness, and they refused to make the cassette tapes. And we couldn't find another company that would make those cassette tapes because cassettes were already on their way out at that time. So it was very good plans that were making them. So I went to Priority Records, and because of that reason, and I did a deal with them, and they had a plant that would make the cassette tape. And then I ended up doing a deal with Priority, and Season of the Sickness came out on Priority. But the transition from those CDs to the digital thing has been, I mean, it's been a tough adjustment that needed to be made. Either you make the adjustment or you die as a company.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's gonna be another now everything going from the MP3 straight to just streaming. So
right.
You know, they count sales on streams and shit like that. But it's almost all the music transcended like that. You went from the records to the 8 tracks, to the tapes, to the 45s, to the CDs, to the MP3s, the iPods, and now everybody's just gonna be straight streaming, paying for services to see multiple content. Do you think some of your content and some of your publishing to get lost in the next change of the way people start listening to music?
The music industry has been they have been working really hard at trying to increase the revenues earned by artists based on streaming. So that's just the next evolution where people. But I think it also creates a different relationship with music. Like when back in the day when I would buy a record, I was invested in that record. That record, I might if I listen to a couple songs on there, I don't like it. I might keep listening to it, and it may grow on me over time. So my relationship with my music is different when I actually own the music. But when I stream the music, my relationship to those songs are different because I don't own that.
Right.
My investment
not that physical
is in the
copy.
Service. My investment is in the service and not so much in the music. I think it changes the relationship that people have with their music.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. Because I still love getting hard copies and shit like that. I love the artwork. I like to read the linear notes and all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's a lost part of the art form, too. Because I bought albums just because of how they look sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And more times than none, it was what I expected by what I seen.
Right.
I expected what I was hearing just by looking at the artwork.
That's right. That's right. And I came up in the, back when I would buy the actual album on wax. I remember I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. When I moved to California, I drove in my car. The only thing I took with me was some clothes and all my records. I had a Trans Am, pretty much just two seats at the front and little baby seats in the back. Back in that car, full of records.
All the way from Ohio to California, huh? How many days is that? 2-3 days on the road?
We broke down about in Nebraska. Car broke down, so that added another couple of days. But if you were to drive straight through, two, 3 days at the most.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Cedric, I was wondering, have you been in contact with Murder or Master P? You worked with True before, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked with I put Master P's first album out. I put out the first record he ever did. I put it out. It was called Who's the Killer. It was True, Master P, and all of his brothers. I never really knew C Murder. I just had a strong relationship with P. I never met C Murder. I know they haven't spoken in a long time. But the last time I talked to P, probably about 5 years ago now, though.
Okay. Yeah, I just asked Scott. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he worked with Master P or C Murder or True or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're I looked at all the people you worked with, man. You worked with so many people. What can you tell us about Big Lurch? What was it like to be around a dude like that, man?
Oh, Big Lurch. I didn't even know Big Lurch had rapped when I first met him. He was just he's about 6'7". He's just a big old tall guy that used to come to my office with Rick Rock, and they had a group at the time. They were working with Mike Mosley. Mike Mosley is like my brother too. He used to come to my office. He'd bring Rick Rock and he'd bring Big Lurch. I didn't do a deal with Lurch. He was already in jail when I did the deal with him. The crime that he had committed had already happened, and nobody else would put his record out. So, of course, I don't have a problem with controversy. And so he brought the record over to me, and I put the record out. My relationship, again, with Big Lurch has been something that has evolved since he's been in jail. Now, even though me and him share the same last name, his last name is Singleton, my last name is Singleton. I will be going to see him probably in the next 3 or 4 months as soon as he puts me on his
his visitors list. He's here in Sacramento at New Folsom. And, yeah, so my relationship again with him is something that has developed since he's been in prison.
Wow.
And he is a guy who is a strong proponent that is anti-drugs, anti the things that cause him to be where he is. And he has been preaching the same thing from the minute he went to jail to now. When we talked to Lurch, it's like he didn't even know what had happened. He said he woke up. He was in jail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I saw he was speaking out against, PCP and things of that nature. It's pretty amazing that he is doing what he's doing now, man. It's almost like he's wanting to give back. You know what I mean? He knows what he did was wrong, but he don't know how it happened because of the drugs. So he's wanting to prevent other people from doing the same thing. Which is a good thing. Is he?
Yes.
I mean, they got him for life. Does he have any chance at all of getting out?
Well, it's a thing where he's going back and forth to parole. When X-Rated had originally got arrested too, he was 31 years of life. But due to a series of appeals, we got the life taken off. And so I'm expecting the same type of thing for Big Lurch. I mean, he has been consistently. He has been consistently pushing the message of anti-PCP, anti-drug.
Yeah.
Look at me. Look at what it did to my life. And it was not a season thing. It's been for his entire time he's been in jail.
Yeah. Definitely. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Big Lurch. You know what I'm saying? And he feels remorse for what he did because, like you said, he don't even know what he did. When you're on PCP, imagine it takes away all the senses, you know what I'm saying, to the point to where, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Hopefully he gets out. Sounds like he can help a lot of people if he has the opportunity.
His life is his testimony.
Yeah.
His life is his testimony. It's incredible. It was amazing to me. Like another thing associated with Lurch is how the victim's family has forgiven him. They forgave him many years ago for what had transpired to their family member. And I thought that was something that was an incredible thing. It was a rapid forgiveness.
Yeah, that's you. And a lot of credit goes to you, man, for sticking with these guys. I know whenever I read that interview with X-Rated, he made that clear that every time he wrote you, you wrote back, visited. He needed money to go somewhere, it got there. And he was very appreciative of that. And as someone that's been there before, I mean, that stuff means a lot. You know what I mean? So shout out to you for sticking with those guys, man.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people would have gave up on that. You know what I mean? A lot of people would have just been like, oh, well, that's over with. So, you believe in those guys.
Yeah, I'm just a loyal dude by nature, man. I'm with you through thick and thin. And that's just who I am as a person. It has nothing to do with this business. That's just who I am.
Yeah, I think that's why you're a successful businessman, because you build relationships with these people, man. They know who you are. You're a real dude. So I think that's why people come to you with stuff, man. You talked about the new thing about Supreme, how they brought that to you. I think that's why people want to work with you, man, because you're a real dude. You're very loyal.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was talking to a guy about the Supreme situation. I asked him, did he know we were having lunch today? A guy here in Sacramento named B. Smooth. And he said, y'all know who Supreme is. He said, he signed me to my first record deal. I was like, really? I was like, what a small world.
Yeah, Yeah, Supreme, the Supreme team, man. Yeah, I know all about that, man. That's great that story's being told. I'm excited to tell for that, man. I know that whole story. I can't wait to see that, man.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. The trailer thing, man, was absolutely amazing. If you send me your email, I'll send you over a little sizzle thing that they have for the series so you can put your eyeballs on it.
I know all that New York street stuff, man, like, you know, Supreme and Prince and all that, man. E-Moneybag was in Queens too. I know all those guys.
Wow.
So I'm excited to hear that story be told, man.
You know, they're about to start working on New Jack City, too.
How are they going to do that? That's going to, I'm just trying to figure out how the hell they're going to do that, because
that's the same thing you ask every time I say that. I just found out a couple of days ago that the guy Douglas McHenry, it was Douglas McHenry and George Jackson who did that movie. They also did The House Parties 1, 2, 3. They did Jason's Lyric. They did Thin Line Between Love and Hate. They did all of those films. You know, there was a series of black films that were coming out. That was all those two guys, George Jackson and Doug McHenry. But George Jackson died about 12 years ago now. And Douglas McHenry has been working on other things. He worked on films like Stalingrad, but he's getting back. He has a couple of meetings coming up in the next few days about doing New Jack City too. Did you know how much money New Jack City earned? It just blew me away.
It had been astronomical.
$1.5 billion.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, I remember when it came out, man. I remember, you know, the movie theater, it was real fucking, people were getting amped up for it, and, you know, same thing with Boys in the Hood. But New Jack City, you know, that kicked it off, you know.
It's always on TV. I mean, I walked past it on TV the other day. New Jack City.
Yeah. It grossed in the States alone, it grossed $47 million.
In the theater?
Yeah, worldwide. And the budget was only $8.5 million. So, I mean, it did phenomenal in the United States alone, then worldwide. Mm-hmm. You know, and, yeah, that movie raked in the money, definitely. Definitely. But, Cedric, I'll tell you what, it's been a hell of an interview, man. I want to make sure before you go, we give all the websites, all your social media, so people could check you out and buy the music.
Okay, you'll find us at Black Market 247 across all your platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You'll find me at Sid Singh at everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of those. But just Black Market Records, you find us in blackmarketrecords.com, blackmarketrecords247.com, all that.
Man, much appreciation. I want to thank you once again for coming on the show, and you're welcome anytime to promote whatever. We also hope to have the Outlaws come on the show. We had E.D. on the show before. Shout out to him. Shout out to everybody at Black Market, man. Keep doing your thing. I really appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you fellas, man. Good luck with what you're doing. And wishing you guys great success.
And thank you very much, man.
Yeah, great interview, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? You can't get more professional than that. That's the homie Cedric Singleton, Black Market Records. Make sure you go out there and you cop that new Outlaws album. You know what I'm saying? Living Legends, available right now. And stay tuned to what they're doing. They got a lot of other stuff coming up. Not just music, film, you know, pretty much, he's pretty much got his hands in a little bit of everything, man. So shout out to him. Also, X-Rated, look out for him. He's got a project coming up. And then he's going to be dropping albums under his real name, Honoré Brown, man. That's dope. It's dope to hear that because, It sounds like a new chapter in the evolution of X-Rated. It's going to be good to hear. I look forward to that.
Without a doubt. That story about Queen, about Supreme, and that's great. And that story needs to be told. So people don't know about Supreme is, man. He had the Supreme team, like 50 Cent, when he was a drug dealer and everything. That's the crew he was with, and Supreme was, I mean, he ran Queens, man.
Definitely, man. And you know, another thing I was really happy to hear too about the Doggy Style, he scrapped that whole album after Herb Lynch, so that could mean there's a whole different Doggy Style album out there somewhere that we ain't heard yet. That's kind of like when dude told us that there was a briefcase of Eazy-E tracks. You know what I'm saying? And then one guy came on the show and actually gave us a snippet of an Eazy-E track from 87, and we played it. I forget what it was called, but it's from that NWA and the Posse era. It has that sound to it. So it's good to know that, okay, there's potentially more music out there. I forgot to ask and what kind of music they got in the vault that they ain't released. If we bring them on in the future, which I hope we do, I'd love to ask them that as well. Because I imagine they got a ton of music.
Yeah, Snoop and Lynch were just hanging out, man. So who knows? We might hear that original Doggy Style sometime. I just saw a video with Snoop and Brother Lynch together, man. So who knows, man?
Well, and shout out to the homie DJ Ready Red, man. If you're listening, you know what I'm saying, we still want to hear that 1989 Ghetto Boys album that was never released. That was shelved, but that was during the lineup change of the Ghetto Boys, so I understand why it was shelved, but it needs to see the light of day. That type of stuff, man, is huge. I mean, it's highly important to hip-hop, you know?
We need it more than ever right now, too, man. You know what I mean? There's so much garbage out there, man. We need that.
Yeah, I'd love to check out right that now. Stuff, man. Because I know at the time I would have bought it. You know what I'm saying? I was already buying rap tapes in third grade in like 86. You know what I'm saying? So I would have been buying that shit. So hopefully somebody sees the light of day, man.
Yeah, you know, I got all that old Ghetto Boys stuff, man. I sent you a copy of the old Ghetto Boys stuff. You know damn well I would have bought that back in the day. Or right now, I would have bought it if I saw it somewhere. You know what I mean? Like that needs to drop. That man, we need to.
Oh yeah, for sure. That stuff needs to come out. But tomorrow, I want everybody to tune in to the show. We got the homie Fred Stein from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Then the homie X Only out of Jackson, Mississippi. Make sure to tune in again next week. You know, Cuckoo Cal is going to be on Monday. We got Stevie Ray, you know what I'm saying, a legendary wrestler. He's got his own podcast, Straight Shooting. He's going to be on Tuesday along with the cast of Let's Go out of Brownsville. Then, you know, Wednesday, multi-platinum producer Odell, Beats by the Pound, Medicine Man. This guy's responsible for, you know, 75 million records sold along with, you know, KLC, Moby Dick, of course, Master P and all them. Thursday, we got Swifty McVay and B12. Make sure you check that out. And then Friday, we're going to top it off, man, with a bootleg of the Dayton family, you know, T-Rock, former Hypnotized Minds label mate, and the crew of Shattered Dreams, new film out of Flint, Michigan. So we're going to keep, man, we're going to keep knocking these shows out. Again, I want to thank Cedric for coming on the show tonight. The dope interview, man. I want to thank you, Brandon, for holding it down. Shout out to Mac J. Everybody tuning in. Yeah, man, we got a lot of dope stuff out of this interview. I'm going to go do my thing now. I'm going to go chop some shit up and get some stuff out there and get ready for tomorrow, man. And again, please, those of you that tune into this show, make sure you go listen to Detroit Unplugged Radio and check out that show as well. It's got our homie Caliber 007, and I forget who the other guests are, but you know, them guys know how to do a good show over there. So I had to talk to Detroit Unplugged, First Fam Radio, you know what I'm saying, everybody, all our affiliates. We don't fuck with many podcasts, you know what I'm saying, many other rap shows, but the ones that we do fuck with, we respect them for what they do. But there's so many other ones out there that are just popping up, and they're not really representing the fucking music, you know what I'm saying, the way they should be. So shout out to those guys, you know what I'm saying. Shout out to you, Brandon. Keep doing what you're doing. Shout out to Sin over there in France. You know, he's another guy. He's got a dope radio show over there. You know, Sinister Sounds. All southern dope music over there. You know what I'm saying? He spins the shit in France. So they got, I'm telling you, they got more love overseas for the music than a lot of people do here. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to everybody overseas that's helping keeping our music alive. We're shitting all over it. Not us, but the majority of the American population. With that being said, let's get the fuck out of here, man. What's up, Brandon?
I was just giving Sinister a shout out, man. He's always showing love, man. He's one of our biggest fans here, man. And he, you know, he's part of the family too, man. That dude represents. He calls in, listens to every show, man. Always sharing the show, sharing my group, Hell's Heavyweights. He's always represent, man. So I just wanted to show him a little bit of love, man. That dude.
Oh, yeah, and that dude's huge.
And his knowledge is out of this world, man. Like, I pride myself on knowing a lot about all different kinds of hip-hop. Sinister got me beat, man. That dude knows everything.
Yeah, that dude is definitely an encyclopedia. Shout out to the homie Abdullah the Barber. Not Abdullah the Butcher. Don't be confused with Abdullah the Butcher. This is Abdullah the Barber. He, man, he's the one that suggested we have Cuckoo Cal on the show. He hit up Mac J and myself on the Murder Master Music Show page. And he's from Milwaukee himself. He put us in contact with Cuckoo Cal, and we got him on the show Monday. Man, be looking out for that show, too. That's going to be a dope show.
Shout out to Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah, shout out to Abdullah the Barber, Abdullah the Butcher, all them Abdullahs. Shout out to all the listeners. You know, keep fucking with us. Keep sharing the links. You know what I'm saying? Let people know about us. Let people know what
Super
we're doing.
Smash. Let me shout out the Super Smash Brothers, man. They're always sharing the links. They're the artists
of
the month.
Racer X, man, Super Smash Brothers, and dudes, real humble. Shout out to Scratch LDP and D Pain, you know what I'm saying, Living Dead Productions, you know, UGS for Life over there. Shout out to everybody that we're fucking with, man. Everybody that's, you know, staying true to what they're doing. We appreciate it. And like I said earlier, you know what I'm saying, I want to build positive bridges and blow negative bridges the fuck up. No time for no bullshit in 2017. We all got to go out there and make shit happen. That's why instead of doing one show a week or two shows a week, on rare occasions we would do three shows a week. Man, we're going to try to do shows as much as possible. I'm not saying we're going to do five every week, but, you know, once you get a streak going, you want to keep it going, right? You know what I'm saying? So we're going to keep trying to bring you shows every night of the week. You know what I'm saying? Saturdays, you got Underground Saturday Night with Mac J and Velvet Rose. Sundays, you got the Church Reality with myself, you, Elaine, Skinny. Then Monday through Friday, we got the Murder Master Music Show. Skinny Man on the Rant, that should be coming soon. That'll be debuting soon. Scratch is going to be dropping another Slaughter Hour soon. So just keep going to UGSforLife.com. That's the central nervous system to the whole fucking thing. Go there, you know, connect with us, and, you know, just to support what we're doing, and, you know what I'm saying, we appreciate it. Thank you all. Let's get the fuck out of here.